Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Livy Lauren is a British singer and songwriter who has been immersed in music since the age of four. Her journey began with singing lessons and music studies during her time at Kent College, where she discovered her passion for songwriting. Over the years, music became more than just a hobby. It became a therapeutic outlet, helping her navigate struggles with anxiety, depression, and ADHD. Despite her love for songwriting, she never initially saw it as a career path. However, after finishing her degree in musical theatre and sending her songs to producers, her positive feedback reignited her drive to share her music with the world. Now, as an independent artist, she's determined to make her mark. Her debut single, Felt Love, is an infectious track which gained attention after a feature on Love Island. Her follow-up track, called Another Sad Song, is a collaboration with Maddox Jones. In 2024, Livy performed Waiting for the World to Turn alongside Maddox Jones, supporting the legendary Will Young on his UK stadium tour. With her unique blend of heartfelt lyrics, danceable beats, and captivating energy, Livy Lauren is an artist on the rise, ready to make her mark on the pop landscape. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Livy Lauren. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I am based in Kent, which is just on the outskirts of London, in a little city called Canterbury, which is lovely. I'm a bit more of a countryside girl, to be honest with you.
Now, how did the stage name Livy Lauren get chosen?
So Olivia is my actual name and Lauren is my middle name. I just quite like the ring of everyone calls me Livy. So yeah, Livy Lauren just worked quite nicely, I think.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be in this creative world. And how did that journey progress?
To be honest with you, like, I've always known I wanted to be in this industry. I'm really lucky because I know a lot of people get to like 18 and they're still like, what am I going to do for a career? But yeah, I didn't know necessarily that I wanted to be an artist. But from the age of, I was about 4 years old when I had my first singing lesson and I went to stage school. I think I had a lot of energy and I was a chaotic child. So my parents sent me off to stage school. And then, yeah, I just absolutely fell in love with it. I think I've got ADHD. So like for me, it was like exerting my energy and like putting my focus and all that energy into something that I absolutely love and just to be creative. So yeah, I started training in dancing, singing and acting from age four. And then I just grew up learning classical music, opera. Well, when I was at secondary school, so I did all my grades in classical music. And then I went to uni and did musical theatre because, again, I was still like, do I want to do acting? Do I want to do music? So I combined the two and was like, let's do MT. So yeah, I went to uni, did musical theatre and then left and thought, I don't know about that. So yeah, all my life I've been writing music and I just randomly gave it a shot and started sending some of my stuff out to some producers, gotten some insane feedback. So yeah, the rest is history, really.
You referenced that you went to stage school. Is that sort of school similar to the television program Fame from back in the day, where it's music and dance and singing and instruments?
Kind of. So like, I went to Stagecoach in Canterbury and Stagecoach is like a brand. And obviously I was at school in the week and then every Saturday morning I would do 3 hours of, so it'd be an hour of singing, hour of dance, hour of acting. And then we'd put on like shows at the end of each term. And yeah, it was really, really good. But on top of that, obviously I started my singing lessons at school, which were like more of the academic-y ones where I actually took grades and stuff in them.
How do you get graded in singing?
So there's loads of different like exam boards. I think mine was Trinity. Don't test me on that now, but it was the classical. I don't know what it was. I did the classical singing ones basically in secondary school up until like grade 8.
Okay.
I think that's the highest you can do. So yeah, I went up to, I did all my grades and then I did all my Lambda exams as well. I know the name of that. It's definitely Lambda. It's been a while since I did these, but yeah, I did all my Lambda exams, which was my acting and my musical theatre, and they were great. And yeah, I always smashed them. So it was a bit weird for me. I was one of those kids that just because I loved it so much, it was easy for me to spend a lot of time dedicating to my craft.
I understand that singing sort of for releasing music on the radio or in on pop or whatever genre is very different to musical theatre singing, which is different to opera.
Yes.
What are the differences?
Do you know what I always say? Like, the best thing I ever did was learning to sing in as a classical singer, because for me, it's the foundation of all technique for vocals. You know, your breath work, I learned all about the diaphragm, and I just learned just so much incredible technique from my opera and classical singing. And it's like ballet for dance, to be honest with you. That's the way I can compare it. It's like, if you're a good ballet dancer or you train in ballet, your technique will be good for other styles. So yeah, classical is amazing for that. But obviously with classical, it's a lot more about your posture, your frame, your open mouth, your vowel sounds. You know, it's a lot wider, and your vibrato and how you hold yourself and breath work. And it's hard. It's really, really hard. But I loved it and I actually really miss it. I think I'm going to try and go back and do a bit of that sometimes. With MT, sorry, going on to MT, I definitely used the technique I had from my opera in that, because MT singing, like learning your belt and learning the differences from your chest voice to your head voice and that bit in between is so hard. So to be really good at belting, especially for me with a bit more of a husky kind of low voice, I really needed to work on that technique to be able to get a really comfortable and also, yeah, just a good technique to be able to do it well without damaging my vocal cords. So MT is, again, more acting through song, better technique, yeah, the belting range. And yeah, it's just, I learned so much about showing emotion through your music. And again, both of these things have helped me with my pop music now, because pop for me is actually easy. Like when I sing pop, it's so simple. Like it's so much easier because I'm not doing the belts. I'm not doing like the operatic sounds. Like, and I can take tiny snippets of that, like little bits of vibrato or like little bits of whisper tones and things, and just come up and completely use all of those elements and create my own form of pop to make me original and unique. So yeah, pop's a lot easier, a lot more fun, but I would say MT and classical for me are way harder.
Obviously, you've had these trainings in the different, the classical and the MT. For people who are singers who don't necessarily have those types of trainings, do you feel that it would be easier for them to sort of damage their vocal cords because they don't have that knowledge of how to breathe and posture and all that kind of stuff, or not necessarily?
Yeah, definitely. I think you need some form of vocal training. Obviously, like, I do believe that you are born with like the tone of your voice.
Yeah.
And obviously you can still manipulate that. You can still add character through the way you sing. But ultimately, when it comes down to trying to hit high notes or big notes or long notes or really sink down to the deeper tones of your voice, that, like, you just need the right technique. And I think you need to learn as well how to warm up properly, how to, you know, sustain your breath, how to hold yourself when you're singing. Because otherwise, I feel like if you haven't had that training, if you were singing and doing like I do, you know, I sell vocals for a living now, so I'm recording every single day, you wouldn't be able to do that. Your voice, your vocal stamina just would not be there. You would be so ill all the time. So yeah, it's like an athlete. Your voice is a muscle. So you've got to train it. You've got to take care of it, and you need to warm it up. So that's what I would say 100%.
Okay. So your creative process in writing a song, that 3 to 4 minute body of work, what motivates it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? Do you write by yourself or collaborate with others? Let's unpack your creative process.
I'm quite straightforward with how I write, to be honest with you. I like to be very real on the day that I'm writing stuff. I don't really ever plan in my head, like, I want to write about this. And I know a lot of people do, and sometimes they deep into things and they get so specific. But for me, writing is like in the moment. It's, this is how I feel right now, and this is what I want to sing about. And half the time I just get this, I might say I'm in this mood. I'm feeling a bit anxious today, or I'm like super hyperactive. Let's create like a track that's got this kind of beat, and I'll sort of sing it to a producer. We get a few chords down that we like that give that vibe. And then I just sing. I literally just sing. And normally like the stuff that's going on in my life just happens to come out anyway, because my brain is thinking about those things. And then I'll pick up a line and I'll be like, oh, I like that. And then I sort of build around that line. And then I'm like, this would be a really cool hook or a chorus or whatever. And then I build around that based on how I'm feeling in that present time. So a lot of my music like might not be something that's so deep and well thought out, but it's like so true to me and how I was that day writing it. Obviously, finalizing things, like you do pull apart little lyrics, you think, how can I make this better? But half the time, I think when you overthink stuff, it sounds more fake. Actually, sometimes when you just sing and like what comes in the moment is actually normally what sounds the best and is the most real. So that's my kind of creative process. But yeah, I've worked with quite a few people. I've just collaborated with Maddox Jones. We've just had a duet out, which is really cool. I've been working with Jungle Boy in a couple of songs. I had Felt Love that came out. It wasn't a collaboration, but he was one of the writers on it. He's massive. You know, he's written for like Ella Eyre and some huge people. So I worked with him on that. And obviously Felt Love went on Love Island and that went really, really well. So I feel like when you collaborate with people, it's 100% it's the best and most beneficial thing for a song because, you know, I'm not going to sit here and go, my ideas are the best ideas, even for myself as an artist. Yep. I think you always need to take inspiration and different ideas from different people. And that's how you get the best form of creative work.
I'm smiling to myself because I'm also a person that's got major energy, huge amounts of energy bouncing around, hyperactive and stuff like that. So I'm just giggling. So when you get into a room with an artist that you've never collaborated with, who's sort of a little bit more chilled, do you match your energy to them or do you bring their energy up to your hyperactivity?
Do you know what? Like, this is something that people always tell me. Like, when I'm doing what I love, like, I'm always on such a high. Even if I'm working with people the first time, like, I will always come in and I'll be like, hey, I'm Livy, like, give them a massive hug. And like, I really believe that what you give out, you get back. So as soon as you go in that room, if I come in, I'm like, which never happens. But if I come in, I'm like happy and, you know, engaged and energized and like act like I know those people. I've known them my whole life. And, you know, hugging each other and you're like, yeah, kick your trainers, you know, kick your trainers off. Let's sit on the sofa cross-legged with a blanket over us and let's write together. Like, you have to break that seal straight away to get the best creative work. So 100%, I've always had that feedback, which has been amazing that I bring that energy to a room and make people feel super comfortable. But obviously with my high energy, there does come those massive downfalls sometimes. And I do struggle with anxiety at times and the highs are really high and the lows can be really low. But often that just happens when I'm sort of in my own headspace at home rather than being creative and being and doing the things I love. Because for me, that is my therapy. That's my like, this is my time away. This is my time to do the things I love and be in control of my life and write about the things I want to. So yeah, I'm always super happy.
I'm smiling as you're speaking because it's just a mirror from for my life with my energy. And when you said you get into your head too much and then you crash a bit, it's like, hello, I know that story.
Yeah. I feel like people similar to us definitely like have those highs and lows. Yeah, the lows are bloody hard.
Yes. Totally agree. What's coming up over the next period?
So I'm currently like in the stage of my artist project where I really want to get another release out. And we've been working on it for a long time. A massive perfectionist, which sometimes doesn't help, but this song's kind of, I think it's nearly there. It's like the final tweaks, and it's actually a drum and bass song, which is a genre that I haven't actually really like touched on before, so it's kind of new to me. And I think that's why I'm like, I need to make sure that everything is right and the vocals are coming across the right way and the instrumentation is hitting at the right points, because it's more it's emotive. It's emotive drum and bass. So I still want it to have that kind of passion and like the emotion behind it, but also when the drop comes in, it needs to be like a banger. Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of working on that at the moment and making sure that's perfect, and it's going back and forth between the label and they're coming up with ideas. And it can be a really frustrating process. Like, that's how I feel at the moment, because I think we've probably done about 50 mixes of this same song. But hopefully the end result will be worth it.
So when you decide to say, cool, I want to dive into a different genre that I've never created in, is it a thing of, ooh, I'm a bit scared, or let's dive into this and kick myself out of my comfort zone?
No, I'm never scared. Like, because I write a lot for other artists. You know, that's how I earn a living. I sell my vocals. I top line for loads of different genres, predominantly dance music, because I do have high energy vocals. But I'm never scared to try something new. Like, I love it. And I love writing for different people and doing different things and exploring different things, because otherwise it would be so boring. You know, I'm writing a song, at least one song pretty much every day, or five times a week. If I was writing the same thing, it would be so boring. Yes. I love trying different things, experimenting. It's easy writing for other people. You don't overthink stuff. But when it's your own artist project, you do fine tune things and you probably overthink it more than you need to. But because it's my first time as Livy Lauren releasing a drum and bass track, I'm like, it just needs to flourish in the drum and bass world.
When you're writing a song, do you know that this song is going to be for someone else or for you, or you just write and then let it flow?
No, I'm quite good at setting times for my artist stuff and someone else. So let's be real, like, we all need to earn an income, make a living. So if I'm not working, if I haven't got that day set out for Livy Lauren artist stuff, work on this song with your producer, go to a studio, like, this is for me, I am at home and I'm working, writing for other artists. So sometimes I write stuff and I do think, oh, this is actually really cool. But if that's the case, then I can just speak to the DJ or the producer that's buying the vocal and the top line, and I can just ask to be featured on it anyway. So it's kind of cool that way. Like, I can go, oh, that's actually quite a bit of Livy Lauren. Like, let me be a featured artist on this, and it will, you know, that will come through. So sometimes I have that, but no, I'm quite good at, I don't ever think that the stuff that I sell, I guess, is, it is not as much my branding, my style, like, yeah, who I am as an artist. So, yeah, I do differentiate them very much.
You reference this term. What is top line?
So top lining is when you're, the best way to describe it is like the vocal melody. So if you're a producer or a DJ, or if you think of a dance song and you've got like a female vocal line in it, yeah, that melody and the lyrics and the vocals are the top line.
Okay.
So the bit that goes on top of the music as such. So yeah, that's what I do.
I love me a CD. I love the budgeting for the CD. I love the receiving, the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the listening from song one to whatever number. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys to say thank you for all the hard work that you put in. I'm sure that you are aware, or maybe not aware, that vinyl's massive comeback all around the world. CDs also. Yeah. Last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge for tax purposes in some way. And there needs to be a certain amount of exchanges in order for them to be in that basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs, that's now back in the basket in the UK. And the research is showing actually that it's the teenagers, it's the younger inverted commas people that are diving into the world, and not the older nostalgic people. But then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What is your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I think from what you've just said, like, it doesn't surprise me that the youngsters are kind of picking back up on CDs. I think, like, if you think you're young, everything is fashion. Everything is look and how cool I am and trying to be someone, and I suppose trying to find yourself as well. And I think probably, like, let's be honest, music is cheaper and quicker, which a lot of the younger generation need when it's on a platform, right? So I personally probably think that actually, like, the CDs is kind of like a cool thing. Like, I listen to CDs like I'm edgy, I'm cool. Like, I'm not like everyone else. I'm not so mainstream. Do you know what I mean? It probably comes from that, because let's be honest, when you're young, you don't have as much money. You just want to get music fast. You want to play a playlist that's in the background for getting ready when you're going out or whatever. So Spotify and stuff like that obviously provides that. I do miss, like, being young. When I was younger, like, I remember my mum bought me like one of these CD players, you know, like the portable ones, and I'd be sat in the car with my headphones on, like, just vibing along, and mum would be like, get your headphones off, I'm trying to talk to you. But I'd just be like in my best life, like, felt like I was in a music video, do you know what I mean? Like, super cool. Yeah, I do miss that, because also the quality of music, when you have a CD player, I think when I'm thinking of one of those things, you wear your headphones, don't you? So you get the better quality music. As for now, like, I play it through a phone or whatever, and it doesn't sound the same.
Exactly.
And I do like it being like almost like a bit of merch. Like, this is my product that I've paid for, and it's in my hands. It's an item. The one thing that Spotify can do for artists, it's kind of like amazing, and it's got its downfalls as well. But obviously, Spotify provides a platform where you could be added to playlists, and then other people can discover you, which a CD doesn't do. You have to know that artist to want to buy their CD.
Exactly.
As for, you can discover Livy Lauren on, wait, I'm listening to this playlist that Spotify has, like, suggested to me. Who's this person? And for me, that's amazing. But also, as we all know, like, the streams on Spotify, you don't get paid anywhere near the amount you should as an artist. So if you're a new artist and you're not touring and doing things like that, like, trying to make a living out of being an artist is near on impossible, because the outgoings compared to the incomes are, like, you can't even compare them.
You referenced earlier that one of your songs was on Love Island. When a song is featured on a movie or in a television show, how does that assist in an artist, especially a newer artist, be discovered by an audience?
Yeah. So Felt Love getting on Love Island was massive, because as well, like, when you're a new artist, you always just think, who's actually listening to me? Who can actually hear me? Like, is it just my mum and dad saying, well done, girl, like, you're doing great. And my friends that hear me, like, you hear their responses and you think, does anyone else actually think my music's good, or are just the people that love me going to tell me and pat me on the back and go, yeah, keep going, girl? So when I got that Love Island cut, it was pretty mental, because it was the first time that I think I've always believed in myself, but like, you're always doubting like whether anyone else does really. And that was the first time I thought, oh my God, like, people have picked up on my talent. Like, this is good enough to be on a platform with, I don't know how many millions of people watch Love Island, but it's a lot. Yeah. And they're willing to have that to, you know, they played longer than the length of the song. They gave it, so they were like cutting it and putting it back, and they used more time than the song actually is in length on the screen, which is insane. And yeah, it was a really good episode, and I was just so grateful for it being on there. The problem was for me at that point is my manager sent it willy-nilly and was like, let's just see if they like it. And we thought we'd get like feedback before they said anything about it going on. They didn't tell us anything until my friend, who had heard this song because I'd showed her it before, was watching Love Island, was calling me like, Liv, I swear your song's on Love Island. And I was like, what? So they didn't tell me. And the problem was I hadn't actually released the song. So,
oh, wow.
Like, where you can use, obviously, like, Love Island stuff, because you think, Shazam, great. People are going to go, like this song on Love Island. What is it? Let me find it. That song wasn't available anywhere. So suddenly, like, that night, oh, my God, I can't tell you how, like, what time I was up till from knowing that it was on Love Island to then calling the label, can we get it out? We need to get it out in 24 hours. Like, we literally have to get this out right now, because people watching it need to be able to Shazam it and to find this song. So yeah, like, hats off to all my team for getting that song out so quickly, because it's almost unheard of. But yeah, I think maybe if it was out before, more people would have been able to find it.
But yeah, that's interesting that they didn't advise you, but I suppose it's just different lessons in the industry and how things work and how things move. So
yeah.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 artists once we finish this conversation, and if you can think of specific songs of those artists, cool. But if not, just 5 artists, who would those artists be? And if you can think of songs, what would those songs be?
Okay. I'm going to reel them off top of my head. Tyler, Ella Henderson, Georgia Smith, Sam Smith, 5th one. Who else do I listen to a lot of at the moment? Becky Hill. Well, apart from Sam Smith, it's all like female artists. I actually love male artists, but I'm here bigging up the female artists. But yeah, Ella Henderson, my favourite song that she does, it's a really old song, it's Yours. It's like one of her like first ones back in the day. Just that song has a place in my heart. Tyler, just her new album, like just the Tyler album in general. I can't pick one song because I love them all and I can literally recite every single song. Becky Hill, can't think of one right now. Who else did I say?
Georgia Smith,
Goodbyes, Georgia Smith, Lifeboats.
So when you're writing a song for another artist, do you know who is going to be picking up that song, or only after the song is complete?
So it depends on what it is. Like, if I get given a brief for a specific artist, then obviously I know what the artist is and the sort of thing that they're looking for, which is a lot easier because, you know, you can use their other songs as references and, you know, the style that they like and that sort of thing. So it depends. But when I'm doing the top lining stuff, which is for like the DJs and the producers, I essentially work with the producer myself. He will send me like a rough, quick track. I'll write something on top, record it, and then I upload it to Hit Vocals, which is a really cool platform. And essentially DJs and producers can find vocals on there and they flick through like almost a catalog and they can pick it, and then they can purchase it, and then they can use that to create their own track and things like that. So that's how it works.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Yes. If you haven't heard of me, now you know me, Livy Lauren. Yes. And yeah, I hope you love my music as much as I love making music. I hope I bring you a lot of joy and lift you up when you're feeling down. And thank you for listening to me babble on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.